question to fill out the term of now Congressman Kevin Cramer. Julie, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. Thank you so much.
Did I get that right? You're filling out Kevin's term, right?
Correct.
You're running for the 2 years left?
2 years remaining in
okay.
his term.
There's gonna the reason I say is there's gonna be two races for the Public Service Commission.
That's correct. And unusual.
Right.
Yep.
The caucus race is gonna be a 4 year term and your race is gonna be a 2 year term.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Julie, recently the whole XL Energy settlement, how did that shake out in your mind?
I think it turned out very well. I'm really pleased with the work. It's a long process. This rate case was filed before I actually was appointed to serve in the commission, and it's a project that I worked on for 14 months with our staff and with the company and with the public. And I think in the end, it turned out very well. We ended up taking kind of an unusual approach, a little bit of a novel approach, and it's a multi-year settlement that provides rate certainty, 4.9%, three times increase, and one-year rate freeze that really provides the revenue for the company to get through this build cycle that they're in, to refresh their system, improve the reliability for customers in Fargo, Grand Forks, Minot, throughout their system, and also has a couple of unique elements that I think were added benefit and really kind of pushed us over the edge in settling and agreeing to this settlement. And if I have a second, I would like to talk about those, if that's okay.
Well, let me throw this at you first, though. You say the growth cycle for XL. I understand that. I'm an XL fan. Mark Nesbitt's a good person for me to work with. But when I see the growth, I don't see it going to North Dakota. I see the growth that's being going through North Dakota, North Dakota lands, farmlands, everything else being used as a corridor for growth somewhere else. Shouldn't Minnesota be paying for that growth cycle? They're the one getting the power.
If I said growth cycle, I must have misspoke. I meant build cycle. They are not.
Same thing, right?
Well,
infrastructure they're building.
In some respect, but some of it is just refreshing their infrastructure that was built, 20, 30 years ago.
So how much of this is that, Julie?
A significant part of it is that.
I'll guess how much money stays in North Dakota of what the rate increase are. I mean, everybody likes investing in a good power grid for our state, but when I see the money that's going to XL, I see it from driving the highways.
Right.
You're more informed on this. What I'm saying is how much of that money that you approved to XL goes into what we're doing here?
Well, very little of this new revenue goes into new projects in North Dakota because very little of it goes to new projects. A lot of it is reinvesting in their nuclear plants, in their existing coal facilities, in their transmission infrastructure, the CapEx program,
so the
and in their distribution lines.
Okay.
Yep. So, but when they do build new things, when they need new generation and need to add to their portfolio, this settlement provides for them doing that in North Dakota.
Okay, now I cut you off, and you had some points you wanted to get to.
Yeah, so that's one of the key elements. We've seen XL favor investing in Minnesota, as you've mentioned, and that's been a frustration for many years on the commission and with other state policy leaders. And this settlement agreement, basically, the company has agreed within 20 years, we will build a gas-fired generation facility in North Dakota. A gas-fired plant. It tips their hand in the favor of North Dakota. Minnesota has a lot of
that's
more
a commitment they made in the settlement. You've got that down in writing and signed and dotted.
Correct.
All
yep.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely. In the Valley. And we believe that's going to be a big bonus for ratepayers here and for customers here in terms of reliability and in the long-term strength of the system in this area, this state. So,
okay. Anything else on XL you want to get out?
Let's see. There was one other component of that is really valuable. Creates this rebasing system, whereas over the last several decades, Minnesota has had some alternative energy projects that they've kind of required the company to invest in. And those over time, they've been small projects, but over time they've kind of added up. And right now we calculate it's about $5 million for ratepayers in North Dakota. This settlement gives us a chance to go back, re-review those, and see, do those make sense for North Dakota ratepayers? And if they don't, the company is committed to replacing those with a comparable type energy at a more affordable rate that we believe is more consistent with the energy goals and the energy policy and the energy beliefs of North Dakota customers.
So in other words, you're saying it's okay for them to get away from wind?
We're saying that on some of their projects that they've made investments in some of these alternative energy projects, maybe like biomass projects that were real exploratory, et cetera, we have a chance to relook at those and see if they are prudent for North Dakota investors.
Well, be specific. I mean, are you saying wind projects? Are you saying ethanol projects?
Some of them, it's a wide variety of projects. There's like 30 of them. They're smaller, Joel. They're like under 50 megawatts each.
So give me an example.
They're called community seabed projects. I can't remember the acronym exactly, but they're kind of like community-based energy development projects that Minnesota had Xcel invest in. And these projects collectively add up to a fair amount on ratepayers today. And so we get to go back and look at those and see, are these prudent or not? They sort of have been added in over time without a lot of scrutiny by the commission. Now they've got, you know, there's a critical mass of them that we don't think really make a lot of sense.
And you have some of them in North Dakota.
Those are all in Minnesota. So we could take a look at those and see if they're prudent for North Dakota ratepayers and take them off. Bottom line, it's about $5 million in cost to ratepayers that we have a chance to relook at, reexamine, and determine, is this prudent for North Dakota ratepayers or not?
Likely your opponent, Tyler Axness, was in the studio, and he had some critical words about the Public Service Commission and where it's going now. The fact that, and the theme seemed to be that instead of being rah-rah for industry, that you need to actually be a regulatory agency. Do you think that his criticism is accurate?
I don't think his criticism is accurate of me. I think that if I could just back up and say why I want to serve the Public Service Commission is because I have, over my 20 years of experience in the government, noticed and realized what an impact government has on people. It really does. And government is here to serve people. It's our government. And I have 20 years of experience in this arena, and I feel like I can add a meaningful voice to this in making government responsive to the interests of the people that we're here to serve.
Julie,
and
the
so
one
I
thing
think
that,
that's what I'm carrying through and trying okay. to do in like the rate case, the XL, and in everything that the Public Service Commission works on.
The one thing that came up was the fact that we're flaring so much natural gas and we're not taking, you know, the landowners and the mineral owners and others aren't taking advantage of what we could be on natural gas. And then we found out that in North Dakota that there was a pipeline built without the proper permitting of it. You as a Public Service Commission chose not to even fine those individuals, even though others had built pipelines that went through the proper permitting. And so it becomes the message that you sent after that as a Public Service Commission was you didn't want to fine them because you didn't want to seem not friendly to the industry. How do you not? I mean, I understood how Tyler got to there when he brought that up.
I do too. And I'm so glad you brought this up because I'd love to talk about this a little bit.
Good. Let's do.
It's really an issue that has been reported on the deliberations of the commission that didn't give a full account of really what happened. And so I'm glad to talk about that a little bit. When I saw that application, I was offended as well. Like, how does this happen? That a company comes to state, it builds a pipeline and doesn't go through our process and then comes back several years later and says, oh, we screwed up. Now we need the permit. So this really came to light because I pulled this off the agenda of the commission when we had the hearing and we were going through with providing the permitting process. I pulled it off the agenda and I said, I want to look at this more carefully. Why are we not taking more action on this? Why are we not finding this company? The staff, we went through it with the staff and our staff said, you know, basically we have to prove that they willfully violated state law. That's the standard that the legislature set in developing these laws, willful. That's a pretty high standard. You have to prove that they intentionally, knowingly, and recklessly ignored the law. Staff at the Public Service Commission said they testified in the hearing, and I was there. I asked them, why did you not come through the process? As you know, they said, we didn't know we had to.
Did you hook them to a lie detector test?
I don't know anyone that builds a pipeline across
the state that doesn't know that you have to have permits to build a pipeline.
I agree. I'm suspicious myself. I'm just going by what I worked with staff on and what our attorneys and everyone on the PSC said, willful is a high standard. That's a standard that the legislature set.
Was that Alana Jeffcoat that told you that, or who told you that?
It was working with Alana and Pat Fawn, who've been at this for, you know, 30 years. And again, this, I think it goes back to when this law was put in place, and it was at a different era in North Dakota when we were trying to encourage development. Mm-hmm. And I think it needs to be refreshed. And quite honestly, long before Tyler brought this up and long before any news person really talked a lot about this, I said, we need to look at changing this because times have changed. And I think that willful is too high of a standard now. When I drive down the interstate and I am going faster than the law or a county road, yeah, and I don't know what the speed limit is,
exactly,
it isn't a defense for me to say I didn't know. And it shouldn't be a defense for a pipeline company to say I didn't know
either. And also, I think it's
incredibly
naive of Alana or whoever to say, you know, we're just going to take them at their word because it's just too tough a standard. Why did you go to law school?
Well,
I mean, you know, I did not go to law school. I built 2,500 miles of water line, but I knew I had to have permits to do it.
Agreed. It kind of came down to, do we have the resources to really go out and open up an investigation, attempt to prove this otherwise? And what's the cost benefit of that?
Okay, I got to get to the weather questions for Julie Fedorchak. Julie Fedorchak, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner, is in the house. AI, check and see what we have on hold here, and we'll get them online. Julie, the order and the way you went, we were talking on the break a little bit how hard of a decision something like that is when someone built the right way and then somebody didn't, and you didn't find the one that did. That's got to be the toughest part of your job.
It is hard, and there's this kind of rub between bringing people into compliance and enforcing compliance and finding those who aren't. And, you know, this is something we've changed over the years. I think the PSC has been more inclined to bring people into compliance. When Brian Culk started, they had never fined anybody for one call violation, never, for failing to call before you dig. That has changed significantly. And I think
absolutely. The word is out there. So let's get to Monty. Monty, you're on with Julie. Go ahead, Monty.
Yes, Julie. Is there a way to tie in with the permitting of a well that they have to have that pipeline into existence within 60 to 90 days? I am sick of seeing gas flared out here. I've heard royalty owners say, well, if they have to shut in the well then. Well, isn't there a way to plan this? I looked at a magazine published in Bismarck that showed the Bakken formations, and if they dug in a pipeline at every 6 or 8 miles that could be tied into, these oil wells go up to 2 miles in one direction.
I think she gets your point.
Yep,
go ahead.
Thank you, Monty, for that question. I think that there's a baseline of infrastructure available in the Bakken now where this is realistic and it's going to happen. I think the Industrial Commission just approved rules basically to this extent just the other day. I don't know what the time frame is, if it's 60 or 90 days, but they have to have a plan for capturing the gas. The Public Service Commission does not get involved in the permitting of the wells and the regulation of it, but we do permit and provide route permits and corridor certificates for transmission pipelines, which is where the gas goes after it's collected in the gathering lines. And so we play a role on the flaring issue from that standpoint. I think there's plenty of work we can do to help improve the results and help improve.
Should North Dakota be like Texas and Oklahoma, though, where you only have a window this long you can flare, and after that you do have to collect it?
I think that's where it's going, and I think it's appropriate.
So you do think North Dakota should be there?
Well, once the infrastructure is in place to do this, I mean, you talk about the mineral rights, right? The mineral rights for the oil and gas.
But until you tell them they have to do that, they're not going to do it.
And that's where things are going. I believe that they committed to that just
And
the
you
other
would
day.
Support that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Okay. Thanks, Julie. Want to get to Greg. Greg, you're on with Julie Fedorchak.
Yes. Joel, the drilling permit and the surface are two different things. The surface is where the pipeline goes. Mm-hmm. You need an easement, which deals with the surface owner. So tying the two together is really tough. They could be totally different people.
I agree. That's called infrastructure. That's what you build.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it takes, easements from the landowner, and they can hold you hostage.
But Greg, understand my passion when it comes to this, because for those of us who did it right, we get punished by those who do it wrong. And when you drive down that driveway and you come across that mailbox and you say, Ted, I got to access your land, it gets a lot harder when the person broke the law and didn't do it the right way. And that's why I was so upset that they didn't get fined, Julie. And I hope you understand that.
Absolutely.
All right. People want to know more about you or your campaign for Public Service Commission. Where do they go, Julie?
JulieFedorchak.com.
All right.
Thank you, Jule.
Appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, explaining XL and everything else that goes with it.